Thanks for spending time with us on The Green this week. I'm Tom Byrne. One of the major events on the Nanticoke Indian Tribe's calendar is its annual powwow. The 47th edition of the powwow will be held September 6th and 7th in Milton. But to bring the event to life again this year, the tribe needed some financial help, turning to the community to deliver $30,000 in needed funding, nearly half coming from a GoFundMe effort. In this edition of Enlighten Me, Delaware Public Media's Abigail Lee sits down with Nanticoke Indian Tribe Chief Avery Johnson to talk about the 47th annual powwow, the cultural significance of powwows, and how this community fundraising brought this year's event to the finish line.
Can you tell me a little bit about the powwow? I know it's happening September 6th, starting at 10 a.m. Can you just tell us a little bit about what that looks like?
It's a two-day event. It's the 6th and the 7th. It's the 47th annual powwow. We've had a couple rainouts and COVID that we'd probably be at our 49th powwow if we hadn't had the COVID shutdown and the rainout back in 2018. It's a cultural event. I guess the best way to explain it to someone that may be from Delaware would be something like a Greek festival or a Polish festival where they celebrate their heritage. Well, we celebrate our heritage and we educate the public on our history, our culture. There's opportunities to have native food, to listen to the native drum, native flute players, see native dance, hear native storytelling. It's a very vibrant, colorful, and entertaining and educational event.
Absolutely. Thank you for that. So I also wanted to ask a little, I know, like you've said, this is the 47th powwow with a couple exceptions in there for COVID. Can you talk a little bit about how this came to be in Delaware and how this came to be a tradition?
We're located in Delaware. We're located in Sussex County along the Indian River, Oak Orchard specifically, right there along the Indian River. That's basically where we've resided, and we've resided there for a couple hundred years. Actually, we had revived our powwows back in the 1920s, but then when the war started and things kind of went awry, they stopped. But then about 50 years ago, 49 years ago, we started them back up. But that's our huge population. That's where we're located. That's where we have our community center, our museum, our church. It's all located in Millsboro, Oak Orchard type area.
Can you talk a little bit about, what kind of cultural celebrations will happen and, why this is important to the community?
Well, it's always important to all people of all different ethnicities to celebrate their culture, celebrate their history, teach their youth coming up about, those ancestors before them, the things that they went through and how they struggled and what they've done to survive and their resiliency. We like our youth to not only celebrate our history, but talk to our elders so they can understand and appreciate where they are today and keep this culture moving forward. You know, we all have diverse backgrounds. We travel throughout the world, but there's no place like home. And you hear that all the time. So there's no place like for us, our powwow and our area there in Millsboro and Oak Orchard, where we feel the most comfortable, the safest. And a lot of times people don't understand their history, right? We become educated, we move away, and we don't understand our history. So we like to keep that alive.
Absolutely. And so I'm looking at the poster right now. And one of the things listed is that there are dances. Can you talk a little bit about what that will look like?
We have traditional dances. There's the jingle dress dance. There's the grass dance, the ribbon skirt dance, ribbon dances that show and have different meanings to those individuals there. And it's explained by the MC, each dance, what it represents, why it is the way it is. And we have multiple performers from other tribes. We typically have individuals representing anywhere from 35 to 40 tribes. We actually have a female hoop dancer that has traveled the world, and she's actually performed at the president inauguration and several other events. So It's a very exciting event. Then we actually have a dance where we invite the public to come in and dance with us. And we also honor the veterans and first responders. And we ask them to enter the circle, the sacred circle, and dance with our dancers. So it's a very inclusive event.
So you say that a lot of the attendees and folks who are dancing or taking part are from other tribes. Can you talk about why you decide to widen the net of folks who can perform and participate as opposed to just including people in the Nanticoke Indian tribe?
That's how our native community is. We're all one big community. And we go to their events and they come to our events. And that's just respect. We respect them, they respect us. They bring some of their leadership. Our leadership goes to their events, and we reciprocate. It's just our customs. That's how it's been for hundreds of years, and it'll continue to be that way.
That makes sense to me. I was also curious if there will be food at the event.
We have our own food court where we sit. We serve our native foods, and then we do have another couple of native food vendors, and then for those individuals that would prefer not to indulge in our native foods, then we just have other vendors serving typical vendor food.
Now, I myself am not a picky eater, so I'm curious what kinds of food will be offered that's not, you know, the traditional, I guess, festival food.
Okay, so we have what we call our fry bread, which is a dough that is deep fried, and then it's served with butter and lots of butter and powdered sugar and cinnamon sugar. We also have Indian tacos, which is served on that same bread with a specialty taco type ground beef mix that our tribe puts together. And we serve that. We also have what we call the powwow pot roast that is put together on this fry bread. And we also have succotash, which I'm sure you know what succotash is, that is done specifically done with a tribal recipe. Those would be the main foods that we serve. And they seem to be very well-liked, and the lines are extremely long.
All right. So we'll come with, you know, sunscreen and hats to prep for those lines. I wanted to pivot a little bit to talk about the funding. And I know that there was a pivot toward community funding through a GoFundMe. Can you talk a little bit about what that looked like this year? Because from what I understand, there was a little bit of a shift.
It was a necessity. You know, we've been doing this for 47 years and we've never had to do anything like this. But I'm not an economist, so I can't explain to you why the economy is the way it is, but I know costs have went up across the board with everything. It's an average of $80,000. It was a $30,000 shortfall. And very easy to explain. We had some very large sponsors who, unfortunately, due to some things that have happened recently with the government, that they were unable to actually sponsor us at all. And some of our other sponsors dropped quite considerably, going from 5,000 to 1,000. So our GoFundMe was set at 30,000. By the time we reached 15,000, we had anonymous sponsors who contacted us and made up that difference.
What does it tell you that, you know, you were able to raise this money fairly quickly?
Well, it tells us that people are very supportive once they know that you're in this dire need and you're not some organization that has been asking for handouts. You've worked very hard and very diligently for many, many years. And this was actually a shock to everyone. You just can't bury your head in the sand. You come up with a solution and you continue to move forward. And, you know, we'll just work much harder again this year, if we can work any harder than what we already worked. Since we're all volunteers, we have 4 part-time employees and a full-time museum curator. And everyone else is a volunteer like myself. We're very proud of everything that we do, and we're very proud of our powwow. And we welcome people to come and join us and see just what it's all about.
And I want to ask, hypothetically, had those funds not been raised, What would have happened? What would the powwow have looked like without that, you know, say $30,000?
That's a great question. And I'm hoping that I never have to answer that question. And I don't look forward to answering that question. But I'm sure there would have had to been many, many cutbacks. Maybe no food, you know, maybe no food to sell, because if food isn't cheap and we have to buy the food to do that. We obviously couldn't less police support, because we can't have the event without the police. Less performers. We would have had to cut back on performers. It just wouldn't be the same event. And at some point in time, we'd probably have to move the event. That's something that we don't want to think about, right?
I mean, I can imagine such a relief.
You know what's more than just a relief? It's that to find out that people actually care. Sometimes things, there's an old saying that sometimes things happen for a reason. Maybe it enlightened a lot of people, and it showed us that people really, really, really care. We really feel proud that there are so many people out there that really cared about us.
Definitely sounds like a production. I am certainly looking forward to attending. Is there anything I didn't ask that I should have, or something else you'd like to add?
I'll tell you a story. I remember standing there, one of our powwows, and the line for the taco was, I don't know, 100 or so people standing in line, maybe 150. It was a very long line. And I apologized to a group that was standing in line that I'm sorry, you know, we just can't move fast enough. You know, there's just so many people here. And they said, you know what? Don't apologize. We love this place. This is the place to be, and feel proud of what you're doing. And from that moment on, it's resonated with me, and it always will resonate with me that, you know, people really care and people enjoy our event. So come out and enjoy the event.
I really appreciate your time. Thank you so much for taking a few minutes with me today.
Thanks to Nanticoke Indian Tribe Chief Avery Johnson for enlightening us this week. The 47th Annual Nanticoke Indian Tribe Powwow is September 6th and 7th in Milton. More information on it can be found at the tribe's website, nanticokeindians.org.